Amen. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning. It is our good pleasure to open the scriptures and let you breathe life into us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Well, let's take our Bibles this morning. I mentioned last week, I'm not trying to snow you with this, not trying to control you, but faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So let's say this together. We are disciples and students of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we abide in Him, we abide in His truth, and we purpose to reflect His light everywhere we go. We're going to continue our brand new series. It's called Pathways to Partnership, as the Lord desires for us to build a culture of honor. Everybody say honor. We're building a culture of honor in a culture here in America that currently, and maybe through November, we may see this, and maybe even beyond that, who knows, but a culture that seems immersed in and addicted to dishonor. Dishonoring people, dishonoring their opinions, devaluing people, and creating strife in the country. But the Lord gave us five core tenets to start the year, and the Lord said, I want these five to govern every aspect of leadership and partnership within Grace Church. Number one, honor, out of Romans 12:10, humility, James 4:6, trust, Philippians 2:1-5, the unity of the Spirit, Ephesians 4:3, and then hearts for reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5:18. And we know sometimes there's hiccups in our relationships, and we want to move and have a heart towards reconciling, not revenge. Amen. So the Lord gave us these to govern our relationships, our partnerships. These will work in your marriages. If you don't like the atmosphere of your family, your business, your marriage, start investing, start sowing these into the atmosphere of your home, family, and your marriage. And you say, Brother Steve, you just don't know what it's like. Well, if you don't like your harvest, change your seed. Change what you're sowing. If you don't like your home environment, you don't like your marriage, change what you're sowing. And you say, well, but Brother Steve, she doesn't honor me. Then sow honor into her. Well, she's not humble towards me. Then sow humility into her. Amen. Well, how about this one? When we fight, she just won't come to me and reconcile. Then you go first. You humble yourself and you offer reconciliation and peace. Amen. Whichever one of you is more spiritual should go first. Whichever one of you thinks you're more mature in the things of the Lord should go first. Amen. I'm not getting any help in here today. If you don't like your harvest, change your seed. God's not going to override your free will and create a culture of peace, love, and grooviness in your house while you're bent on strife and contention and ego. Amen. So we're going to sow honor and humility and trust and unity and reconciliation. Let's go back to Isaiah 60. I'm in hot water already. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, church, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Behold, there's darkness covering the earth. There's deep darkness covering people in this hour. But the Lord. Everybody say, but the Lord. But the Lord will arise over you and His glory will be seen upon you. I know we're in a blizzard right now. It's a blizzard of information, distraction, deception, dishonor, devaluing of people, confusion, chaos. That's so much of what's being sown in our culture. But listen, I don't even know that we've really been tested yet. I mean, think about it. They're not throwing us in the lion's den yet. They're not hanging us or throwing us up on a cross somewhere. Let's be found faithful. I want to be found full of faith in this hour because I'm not even sure this is the great test. It's not. This could be birth pains, people. Birth pains, Scripture calls them. In other words, just kind of the beginning of things. So let's shine in this hour. The word glory here, the glory of the Lord will be seen on you, means His honor will be seen upon you. How about this? His wealth, the abundance of His wealth. And again, as I said last week, I think that's not limited to money. I think it's true riches. the abundance, the wealth of His Spirit will be seen on us in this hour. The glory of the Lord, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all those things that our culture seems to be short on. We're called to shine in the midst of what's going on. This is the sole reason Jesus put His life, His light, and His love on the inside of us. Amen. So we're gonna shine in a society that seems to be addicted to finding things to be offended by. Pray for the president, whether you like him or not. Pray for him that he'll lead the way and come out of name calling and childish behavior. That he'll come out of that. There's no good to come out of just calling people names and demeaning people. He's the president. Pray for him that he gets a revelation that before I tweet something. Amen, somebody. I'm going to sit with the Lord. And I'm going to pray for the Democrats, or I'm going to pray for whoever he's knocking on. I'm not banging on him. I'm just saying the whole culture is rife with dishonor. And it's not right. It's not pleasing to God. Amen. So what can we do? Well, we can pray for him. We can pray for Washington. I've long said, I want to see a revival in the Senate. I want to see a revival up in Washington, D.C. I want to see Republicans and Democrats wash each other's feet and get their egos and their platforms out of the way and do what God wants to do for our country. Amen. The God of this world is building a culture of death, darkness, and division all around us. I mentioned Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies, last week. So Christ in the midst of it, life, light, and love. He wants us partnering with Him to build a culture. See, the church isn't to be a subculture, just marginalized over in the corner somewhere, shaking in our boots. We're a counterculture to what's going on. We're the kingdom of heaven on the earth right now. Full of righteousness, peace, and joy, life, light, and love, not death, darkness, and decay. Amen. Let's be that model, the kingdom of heaven manifesting in the earth. That's who we are. We live every day as though heaven's already here. Because it is in down payment form in the Holy Spirit. So we need to shine in the midst of all of this. We are culture carriers. Let's make sure we're exhibiting the right culture every day. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to the culture and the thinking and the ways of the world. Can you, as a born-again Christian, be conformed to the world's culture? Yes, you can. So renew your mind. You're not born of that spirit. You're not jockeying for fake power. You have real power in the Lord Jesus Christ. I said this last week, it's my little soapbox, but I'm going to get on it again. The real hope for America isn't the governments of men, but the government of God living intimately and triumphantly in your heart and mine. That's what will change the world. And we can change our sphere, our areas of influence. Amen. The real hope for America, I mean, I told you last week, if your hope is in a politician or a political party, I'm praying for you. Because you missed the gospel. Do you realize that real power to change doesn't come from politics? It comes from the Holy Ghost. Real power to change comes from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Living triumphantly in our hearts. So we need to be making sure and then discerning people who are hungry in this hour can get some bread. Some of them may come to you, you know, and give you an answer saying, hey, I'm looking for Jesus, or I'm fed up with the world. I need some hope. I need some light in life. But others you may need to discern. Did you know you can discern if someone is hungering for the things of the Lord? So what do? We want to make connection with them and give them some bread. Give them real life. That's why the Lord said in 2020, He was adamant. He said, begin intentionally investing in people for the purpose of knowing me and growing them up in Christ. There are people right now hungering and thirsting to be reconnected to the vine. Amen. Religion won't do it. A relationship with a living vine, Jesus Christ. That's what will feed their soul. That's what they're looking for. So we need to be on the lookout for that. How about this? Any hope for changing this world we're living in won't come from this world. It's not coming from the natural realm or the wisdom of men. I'm telling you, it's going to come from the Spirit of God, the one who made this world and knows how it works. No matter how many laws pass, no matter how many outer restraints we make to curb certain sins, those rules cannot change the heart of a human being. Why do we have so many more laws now than we had 100 years ago? Sin. The law is created to put a deterrent on people's bad behavior. The more people that get born again, the better off the country is. And I mean really born again. I'm not talking about sign a card and intellectually ascend to they believe in God. Even the demons believe in God. I'm talking about knowing Jesus Christ, walking with Him, following Him as a disciple on a daily basis. We start doing that, we will change the country. It'll happen. Why do I mention no matter how many laws we pass, it can't change the heart of a man? Because that's where America is broken, is on the inside. It's not our policies. It's our heart. There's too many people in our country that are heathen, that think like the world and easily succumb. Hey, if the world, if born-again believers can be sucked into all the arguing and dissension, the world doesn't have a chance. And we ought to be able to relate to that. Can I get a witness? It can be easy to be drawn into arguing and strife. It can be easy to get into that. Well, the world wouldn't have a chance then. We got to get people born again. It doesn't matter how much money America spends. You can't change the heart of a human being. That's where we're broken, is on the inside. That's where we come in. We are internal reformers. We're offering people a personal relationship with a living God. Amen. Romans 13 says the government's role is to restrain sin and prevent anarchy, but it can't turn evil hearts into good hearts. Only you and I partnering with the Lord can do that. Amen. Somehow we get trapped into thinking, well, better laws and better politics will make better sinners. No, it won't. Why are we always trying to wrangle everybody in? Let's get them all saved. We keep praying everybody be civil. Let's pray they all get saved. Amen. Well, that's my soapbox. Ephesians 5:14. Let me give you one more, just off the cuff. You realize Jesus, in coming here, brought God's government. It's a kingdom. It is a form of government that's the most amazing the world has ever seen. It's outrageous. Whoever said that, I agree. Yeah, internal. Change the inside of a man. Don't try to religiously constrain his behavior or even lawfully, governmentally, outwardly. Change his heart. Now, not only will he not steal from his neighbor or wreck his town, he'll feed his neighbor, serve his neighbor, and run into town to bring light and hope and goodness. That's the hope for our country. Don't be deceived into all that's going on. Pray for the elections? You bet. Vote? You bet. But don't put your hope in man. We're going to stand and we're going to be here regardless of what happens in November. We'll be here as light and salt. Come on, amen. Ephesians 5:14, the word of the Lord came to me in my office this week. He asked me to read this to you. Therefore, he says, awaken, you who sleep. Arise from the dead. Here it is again. Christ will give you light. We're called to shine. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days, well, they are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation or excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What a powerful passage. Paul's saying here, don't be drunk on what the world's offering you. Don't let them overcharge your heart and fill your heart full of all that chaos. See, in the midst of a blizzard, what do you got to have? You got to be anchored or you got to be tethered to the truth. You got to be anchored in Him and what is true, because otherwise you'll be moved by what you see. But we don't walk by what we see. We walk by faith. Amen. So he's saying, don't be drunk on what the world is offering. Be awake. Be sober with what the enemy is doing. Tether yourself to the truth. Write this one down. 1 Peter 1:13 says to be sober. Let's be sober. Gird up the loins of your mind. Isn't that interesting? Loins, reproductive organ. The loins of your mind. See, in the natural realm, there's reproductive organs, but in the spirit, we reproduce and generate life through our mind and our heart. So he says, gird up the loins of your mind. And let me give you sober as well. Sober means free from illusion, free from deceptive influence. Amen. That's who we are. So that word loins in the Greek means the seat of generative power. I've said this before. So the power of the Christian life doesn't come from your mind, but it does come through your mind. So it's important who you're yielding your mind, your thought life, and the loins of your mind to. Because wherever you're making union in regard to that, you're going to produce its fruit. Yeah. Amen. I'm not against reformation in America. We need some reformation. We can be better and we can do better. Okay, I'm not against reformation. But how we go about it is of the utmost importance, is everything, because otherwise we're going to be drawn in and lured by this evil spirit, this entity that's causing so much division and dissension. And again, as I said last week, that's where Satan reproduces, is in death and decay and darkness. So let me remind you, I'm going to go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to start with verse 23 in the New Living Translation. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel. Who are we? Servants of the Lord. So here you go, your job description. Servants of the Lord must not quarrel, but be kind to everyone, be able to teach, be patient with difficult people. Amen. Remember last week, I thought, hey, we should do a series on dealing with difficult people. And then the Lord was like, just remember to include yourselves in it. Sometimes we think everybody else is this difficult person. Yeah, I wish they were here. They need to hear this. We can be difficult. Come on, somebody. Next verse. Gently. Everybody say gently. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change their heart and they'll learn the truth. Verse 26, then they'll come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap. His trap is division, dissension, strife, discord, and chaos. His trap is to lure you into the flesh, to out-argue everybody. The early church didn't out-argue pagans. They out-loved them. They out-healed them. They out-cared them. For they've been held captive by Satan to do what he wants. What's he want to do? He wants strife and quarreling. Here's Colossians 2, 6 through 8, New Living Translation. And now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to follow him. I love the New King James. Just as you received Christ, walk in him. So how did you get him? You received him. How should you walk every day? Receiving of him. Participating with him, abiding with him. Verse 7, let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. Well, we need some of that. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking. We got any talking heads on television? Why do you even watch? It's just human reason. No, not one person has cracked open scripture. That was good. There's a lot in that. Don't miss what just happened. Yeah, you can't unthink it. Yeah. We've got all these talking heads. Not one of them has cracked open scripture and begin to say, you know, I just feel like God is saying this. Why are we wasting our time? Empty philosophies, high-sounding nonsense, comes from human thinking, from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. Amen. Isn't that good? We got to be tethered. Hear the word. This is the word of the Lord to us. I wanted to teach something else. He said, no. Stay right here. This is needed. We must tether ourselves to Him. We must immerse ourselves in truth. That's what Paul was saying. Don't be influenced. If you get drunk with wine, you come under the influence of wine. Don't come under the influence of the world. Come under the influence of the Spirit. Singing, making melody in your heart, being good to one another. What does all that do for us? It builds a culture of honor. We honor people here. Listen to the definition of Isaiah 60, which I started with. When the Lord puts His light, His glory upon us, listen to this, He transfers the status of His life to us. The Lord transfers the status of His life to us. That's what honor and glory does. And we can transfer that one to another. We can demonstrate honor and glory and goodness to one another. We live in a day where it's more cool to criticize and belittle people than to love, encourage, and edify them. So here's a thought. Instead of criticizing someone on social media, pray for them. Before you touch the keyboard or your phone or whatever, pray for that person. I mean, really sit with the Lord. And then ask your heart what you're led to say. Fair enough? We live in a culture where it is cool to criticize and shame and belittle people for what they think. All it's doing is creating fear. When you don't have a culture of honor, fear comes in. When fear comes in, people start grasping for control. When control comes in, competition and strife come in. And James 3 says, where there's strife, there's every form of evil welcome. We must open our eyes to what is happening. We must see what the enemy is doing and not be ignorant of his devices. We are not of that spirit. Look at Romans 12. This is a great one. Romans 12, verse 17. And we'll get into this whole about verse 9 to 21 in this series. But look at this excerpt right here. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Who's it depend on? Amen. I'm not going to let your anger stir anger in me. I'm not going to let your brokenness control my attitude. Verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it's written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. So let me give you this. Jody Brown, who's on staff here, dug this thing out and passed it along to me. I love it. The word possible here is dunatos. Verse 18, if it's possible, because it sounds like, well, it's probably not possible. It could be a hard thing. The word is dunatos. Listen to what it means. Powerful, able, strong, and mighty. Preeminent ability or the inherent power of God living inside you. So within every believer is the inherent power and ability to live in peace with others. How about that? Within every born-again believer is the inherent power of God, not willpower, the power of the Spirit to live peaceably with all men. And then, right here, she also dug out, live peaceably with all men. The word here is irunio. I don't know, it comes from Irene. It means to bring peace, to be at peace. It means here, if I'm living peaceably, listen to this, I am peaceful, I keep the peace, and I am at peace, which means to live in the condition of God's wholeness. So again, that's what peace is. I'm living in the condition of wholeness. So I don't lack anything. Remember, I'm not grasping for power and control, Because I'm whole, I can be given. Jesus was whole in John 13. He wasn't afraid. He was able to wash the disciples' feet, knowing what's ahead of him. He was able to be poured out, live in love and live in freedom and not be afraid. The word wholeness in God's peace also means to join, to tie together. So she summarized it and said, when we're joined together with Jesus as believers, we have all the essential parts for wholeness. Therefore, we have all essential parts and power to walk in peace with other people. Amen. Isn't that good? It's really good. I want to show you verse 14 through 19. This is the Message Bible. Romans 12. I don't know why it's not responding to my anointed finger. All right. Romans 12, 14, the Message Bible. Look at this. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. I mean, are we going to live this thing or not? I want to. I want to live it. I want to live. I love him. I love him, and I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I want it to be true that when people see me, they see him. And maybe they'll kill me. I don't know. But to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen. I'm going to be alive with him way longer than I'm going to be here. Amen. Bless your enemies, church. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Love this. Don't be stuck up. You know, Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride comes contention. So what does our country need? We need to humble ourselves. And that's part of that culture the Lord's building, right? Honor, we honor each other. Be humble towards each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody in your own mind. Don't hit back. Sounds like Jesus there, doesn't it? Discover beauty in everyone. Another scripture says, treat everyone with dignity. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Amen. Amen. We either believe it or we don't. And what happens when we decide we're judge, jury, and executioner? What happens then? Flesh. Bad things. Because we don't judge righteously. Jesus said you can help the guy who has a speck in his eye only after you acknowledge the log that's in yours. So he said, you can correct him. You can help him. You can reach out to him. Just make sure you do it through the lens that there's a big, giant log in your eye. Well, amen. We're just purging the church this morning. Luke, what happens when we do the judging? Here it is. Luke 18, verse 9, Passion Translation. Jesus taught a parable to those who were convinced they were morally upright and those who trusted in their own virtue yet looked down on others with disgust. New King James says, who trusted in themselves, they were righteous and despised others. Verse 10, once there were two men who went to the temple to pray. One was a proud religious leader, the other a despised tax collector. The religious leader stood apart from the others and prayed, how I thank you, O God, that I am not wicked like everyone else. See, this Pharisee spirit, it's coming from the world, but that should tell you something. Religion is a worldly spirit. It is from the God of this world. Are you catching that? The Pharisee spirit, the I'm better than everybody else because of what I know, or even what I know about God, or just what I know, comes from the world. How I thank you, God, I'm not wicked like everyone else. They're cheaters, swindlers, crooks, like the tax collector over there. God, you know that I would never cheat or commit adultery. I fast from food twice a week and I give you a tenth of all I make. Oh my goodness. Which one of them left for home that day, Jesus said, made right with God? It was the humble tax collector, not the religious leader. For everyone who praises himself will one day be humiliated, but everyone who humbles himself will be lifted up and honored before all. See, this is us. We humble ourselves. We have faith. We know that when we humble ourselves in due time, God exalts us. We don't self-promote. We don't have to do that. We're not of that spirit. Do you realize that whatever puts you on the right side of the opinion ledger on social media, let's say Jonathan really sees something, he's got the answer by God and he's going to lay it out there in social media. If it is a great revelation and if it's truth, where did it come from? Does Galatians not say, what do you have that you did not receive? And we act like we're the cat's meow. Like, oh, my brain is brilliant. If you saw a flash of truth, I'm telling you, thank God and humble yourself, because everything you see that's right and good, you received from Him. Woo, glory. we're gonna bring a change. I can feel it. We're gonna bring a change. The Pharisee builds his case on what? On how right he is. I'm on the right side of things. America and this world have been deceived by the same religious spirit right here, but it's a heart of humility and honor that defeats a culture of dishonor. I'm reminded of this passage: knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And that's what our culture is, void of love. That's why we got to get them all saved. Okay, I can't find my next passage. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. There it is, right there. Whoops. Come on, anointed finger. There we go. Listen to this. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. I'll leave you with this one. For this is the will of God. Everybody want to do God's will? That by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice or to hurt people, but as bondservants of God. Look at this. Verse 17, underline it. It's your refrigerator word for this week. Honor all people. Love each other, the brotherhood in Christ. Fear God. Honor the king or governmental authority. My goodness. That dreaded word, all. Other translations say honor everyone. What do we do sometimes? Well, here's a great question. Who gets honor from me? Those who honor me? Those who deserve it? Those who earn it? Maybe people I like. Write this down, the word honor. And Jeremy, you guys can come. The word honor means to treat with dignity, value, and weight. You treat people with weight. In other words, they matter. You treat them with dignity and value. The opposite of that would be treat them as common. They don't have value. They don't have weight. The Message Bible says, treat everyone you meet with dignity. How about this? Everyone is someone for whom Jesus died. Everyone is someone for whom Jesus died. And remember, if they're undressing you with their tongue, if they are lashing you and cursing you and cussing you, remember, it's Christ in you that the enemy and that spirit hates. You don't war with flesh and blood. You got to see it. That person who's tongue lashing you or spewing venom is somebody that Jesus died for. And my guess is if he were living triumphantly in there, they would do better. Didn't you and I do better once Christ moved in? Thank you, Jesus. How about we make a decision that we'll never allow the brokenness or anger of someone else to control us? I'll never let the way you conduct yourself conduct me. Woo! Isn't there a mind in Christ, a mind in Christ and a power in Him that I don't allow how respectful you are to me to determine how respectful I am to you. There's a power in Christ to do that. That I'm not using your honor towards me to determine whether I'm going to be honorable towards you. I'm not going to let what you're saying to me affect what I'm saying to you. If we do that, what have we done as branches? We've connected to them. And so now we are regurgitating or producing fruit after their kind instead of Jesus' kind. I don't want to ever let someone else's measure of love towards me be what determines my measure of love towards them. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to let your level of trustworthiness restrict me from living open and honest and honoring towards you. Why? Why would you do that, Steve? I have nothing to protect. It's no longer I that live. It's Christ that lives in me, as me, and through me. What if our honor of others has nothing to do with our view of them and has everything to do with God's view of them? That's the truth. My honoring of others has nothing to do with my view of them, my personal view, and my judging and measuring and of them. It really has to do with God's view of them. And if we can get a hold of that, we can live free from the death and darkness and strife that lives in our culture. Amen. Will you stand with me? Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Amen. Are we all in on this?
Amen, yes.
I think it's the word of the Lord to us. Will you lift your hands with me? Come on, lift them up high. Father, we love you. We love you. Daddy God, we love you. And we thank you, Lord, for stirring us and awakening us to what's going on in our culture. Thank you. And Lord, now that we do know better, we can do better. We can begin to rely on you. Lord, we want you to be our vine. We want you to be our source. We never want the dishonoring of other people to determine our conduct. Lord, I thank you for washing us with the water of the Word of God this morning. We're free people. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So we lay down every old thing, every past mistake. Devil, I'm not letting you measure me by it, not letting you judge me by it. In the name of Jesus, get out of here, get away from me. I will not listen to your accusations. Because I'm a free person in Christ. And Father, we give you this permission. We want to partner with you to build a culture of honor here at Grace Church. All of our partnerships, Lord, disciple making, discovery groups, elders, board of directors, staff, whatever it is, Lord, we partner with you in the way of honor, humility, trust, reconciliation, and the unity of the Spirit. And we're going to allow the light and the life and the love of Jesus Christ to change the atmosphere. Father, I pray for our homes this morning that we'll have the atmosphere that you desire because we're willing to sow good seed into it. Sow good seed into our marriage. Sow good seed into our family. Sow good seed into our children, our grandchildren, and cultivate the atmosphere. We are atmospheric agents. Devil, we command you to come down over the United States of America. You no longer can be the prince of the power of the air and ruling the airwaves. We bring you down in the name of Jesus. And we're going to be an answer to our own prayer, our feet on the ground, the Lord's feet on the ground, to build a culture of life and light and love. And Father, if they kill us, all the sooner we're with you face to face. No longer by faith, but by sight. Sight will replace faith. And there we will be. I pray a great deposit of the Holy Ghost upon this church, upon everyone who's here, all those worshiping online. Lord, with their hands raised, let there be a deposit of the power and person of the Holy Spirit. As Jody dug out for us, we can, by the supernatural power of God, live peaceable lives, whole and full of King Jesus. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said amen and amen. Yeah. Amen. If you need prayer, stick around, or you want to visit with someone about walking with people in Christ, we'll meet you here. Let's go change our world. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.